Welkom in de Bonsai Club. Elke zondag tussen 7 en 8. Ja, lieve luisteraars, welkom in de Bonsai Club elke zondag tussen 7 en 8. En vandaag is een hele leuke uitzending, want ik ben op bezoek bij dokter Alaknanda Rao. En zij is Ayurvedisch arts en heeft een eigen kliniek. En voordat we verder gaan met het interview, ga ik even een Indiaas muziekje opzetten. So, dear listeners, we are now with Dr. Alaknanda Rao, and I'm in the clinic of yours. Thank you so much that I could come by.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Yes, and you have the Ayurveda clinic, and today we are going to talk about the oranges, about the origin and the importance to live with the plants and to conduct with the plants. Well, your clinic does everything with Ayurveda, and Ayurveda is like it has many principles.
Yeah.
Can you reveal a few of the principles of Ayurveda to explain how much meaning it can have for a lot of people?
Yes, thank you. Ayurveda is, we can start with the word itself. Yes. It has two words united together, Ayur and Veda. Ayur means life and Veda means knowledge. So it is all about the knowledge of life and all different angles of our life. So what is good life and bad life, healthy life and disease, it has all those angles.
Can you explain something about when Ayurveda helps with disease or helping to get a better view on life? Actually, it are two questions in this time. Sorry for that.
No, it's good. That will be the second point what I would explain about Ayurveda. Yeah. That it has two angles to it. Swasthasya swasthya rakshanam. Aturasya vyadhi parimokshaha. The first part says that for the healthy person, for the swastha, the healthy person, we should think about preventive medicine, how to enhance his health and how to stop the disease. So before the disease is showing, what can we do to prevent it? The preventive medicine is very strong point of Ayurveda. And the second is Aturasya vyadhi parimokshaha. So the person who is sick or who has some health condition, there are various treatments and plant-based medicines to help that person to recover from disease. So these are the two angles of Ayurveda.
Thank you. And can you like reveal a kind of like one Ayurveda method or how the plants work into the bodies?
Yeah, in Ayurveda we use plants for two reasons. One will be like plant-based diet. So there are things what are for the daily consumption, and then there are some herbs which can be also preventative in action. And then comes the therapeutic herbs. So in all these ways the herbs are used, and use of herbs is also only one aspect of Ayurveda. Many times people think when Ayurveda, they are thinking about nice warm oil massage. So people are more known to the massage side of Ayurveda, and nothing wrong with that. So there are external treatments like massage. There are oil drips on the head. Various types of massages are described in Ayurveda. There is internal medicine also. But along with that, we give lot of focus on healthy diet. So diet and lifestyle, it is combination. And for the exercise part, Ayurveda is using yoga. So it is all together, the care of body, mind and soul. So it is all together. It is not super specialization approach, but it is holistic approach, which yes. Ayurveda recommends.
Yes. And also, I think it's like also internal and external.
Exactly.
What you see outside will come inside and yes. will feed you. So it's yes. also when you do the Ayurveda, you have to make choices for yourself and for your own healthy body
yes.
in your decisions.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
Well, you were studying for over 6 years in yes. university.
That is true. So in India, we have university level course education for Ayurveda. So just like the medical students go to university, we do the same. Mm-hmm. But we don't learn the chemical medicines, but we learn in place of materia medica, we learn the herbology. So Ayurvedic way of understanding. And that takes full time course of 6 years. And 1 year out of that is the internship, stash. So we work in rural and urban clinical settings.
Yes. And what did you do on your internship, actually? Because when you do like a lot of theory and yeah. then you go into practice, it's kind of a switch.
Yes, that is true. I was very fortunate, I must say, that right from the first year of my university education, along with the university education, I got to work with very famous, renowned Vaidyas or the Ayurvedic doctors in India. So the whole day we used to go to the college and learn, and then the evenings we used to be in the clinics. So it was, and they made us work very hard, but I should say that more than academic knowledge, I got to learn through practical way, and that helped me in my practice more effectively.
Yes,
yeah.
Because then it's double. You see also not only the practice, but you see also the people behind the theory and
behind
also
the
the stories or
yes.
things like
exactly.
that. Yes,
exactly. Yeah.
And after the 6 years, you still did another study. So you went to the Gurukula system. Can you tell me something about that? I don't know if I pronounced the word precisely.
Yeah. You are very precise. Gurukula means gurus or the teacher's home, teacher's house. So if you get to live there and learn, so it will be like, you know, live in kind of training for you.
Mm-hmm.
So that I received, and not after completion. After completion of my graduation and after I got the registration also, I went to my guru. But before that also, whenever we had summer vacations, that was condition of my pulse diagnosis teacher.
Yes.
That if you want to learn from me, you have to live here. And his OPD, his outpatient department, used to start at 6 o'clock in the morning. So we have to get up early, get ready, and his patients will be waiting, and then it used to start because that is how it was done.
And can you tell me what you learned from a guru exactly, because you have all the theory then, but what is it like to be with the guru in the house?
Yeah. Guru has multiple meanings. one meaning, the basic meaning of guru is teacher. So anything, if you learn from a small child, the child will be your guru. When I learned pulse diagnosis or Nadi Pariksha, that was my Nadi Pariksha guru, Dr. Jaydev Vaidya or Nana Vaidya. And then the spiritual guru will be your Sadguru or Shri Guru, who will lead you on the spiritual path. So I was also lucky that I was initiated with spiritual journey when I was 25 years old. So I have that. So Guru has those meanings. And with my Nadi Pariksha Guru, it was very interesting because we used to work in his outpatient department. So hundreds of patients will be seen in one day. Then in the afternoon, we used to make Ayurvedic medicines. So the mixing of all spices, herbs, but more importantly, going out in the nature and finding, recognizing those herbs and plants. So it was like all together. And evenings were for reading the old manuscripts and Sanskrit literature of Ayurveda. So that was nice.
Yes, so it was really not experience. It was, how to say, like learning in different ways.
Ayurveda, yeah, on all levels.
Yeah, yes,
that
good.
Is how it was.
Yeah, and how it's one little sub question. How important is to read the Sanskrit with Ayurveda?
I think it is very, very important because some Sanskrit is very versatile language, and some meaning will be lost in the translation.
Yeah.
So if you know the original, you can go more deeper into the meaning.
Yes. Yeah. And are there also like recipes for medicine in Sanskrit, which when with the translations will be a little bit less strong? Is it also about recipes, or is it only the Sanskrit?
It is understanding, because each word could have many shades of meaning.
Yeah.
Sanskrit is language like that. So if you need to read in between the lines and understand it very, very well, the original manuscripts are very useful. Of course, now that the manuscripts are all translated in main languages of the world,
yeah,
so we are good.
I think what you try to say, but I don't know for sure, that you have many ways of reading, and if you know the Sanskrit, it opens different dimensions.
Exactly.
Okay.
I agree with you. Yeah. Tantra free throws. I can't jump high, but I hear all the notes. I can't be you, no. I can't be you, but I can be true, though. I want to be friends. I want to be friends till time ends, yes. And I can't escape, I can't.
So after this beautiful music, we go to the second part of the interview. We talked a lot about Ayurvedic way of living, or the Ayurvedic science, which forces it into a living that you can involve it in a good manner. The medicine, what I was amazed by, follows a lot of schedules. Like some medicine they are only taking in the morning or in the nighttime, and the other are daily use. Can you explain a little bit about the rhythm of the medicine in the day?
Yes.
Or the herbs.
Or the herbs.
Yeah.
There is a biorhythm which we observe because of sun rising and sun setting. So various times of the day also reflect into the body. So various forces are more active at different times of the day. For example, if you get up early at dawn or just before sunrise, it will be easier for you to eliminate the waste of the body. So the herbs that help into that, or just simple thing, a cup of warm water can do the magic if you take it at that right time. Similarly, if you want to boost your digestive fire, better you take those herbs before you have the meal. But if you want digestive effect or something to help you with the digestion, like you went for a party and it was heavy, then it is given after that food, so it will help in the digestion. But if you know you are going to have a nice meal at a restaurant, if you want to increase your digestive fire, better take the ginger before going into the restaurant. So we use the different times for different purpose, and then it becomes more effective. If you want the rasayana effect or the longevity or tonicum effect, those medicines.
Can you explain first the effects? Like you talk about three effects. So, but
there are many actually.
There
are many effects what we can achieve.
Yes.
But lot of importance is given to the digestive fire or agni. And then what I was saying, that we can either help to bring the digestive fire up, or we can help in the digestive processes, or we can help in opening up of the lungs, for example. So various different actions can be expected by Ayurvedic herbs, and the times of administration or times when to take those herbs are chosen accordingly.
Yes, so every time has its own effect, like has its own root in the body and mind, actually.
Yes.
Okay, and maybe because now I'm here, maybe you can give two examples of herb for the well-being of immunity, and also like what they do, and maybe a little bit of the ritual, how to take it, maybe.
Now the whole world talking more about immunity because of the situation outside, so I will give you two examples of spices and two examples of herbs to that boost immunity. Very well known herb licorice or zuthaut can be taken as a tea. It is easily available, and if you take couple of cups of organic tea of zuthaut, it is very good to boost immunity. It is membrane protective kind of herb, so it will help your lungs to protect the membrane of that. And just we have to remember that overuse of licorice is not good for people who have high blood pressure. So there are also do's and don'ts. Even if these are herbs, they do work. So couple of cups are fine for all healthy people. Other herb I can say is tulsi. It is variety of basilicum. It is called holy basil. This tulsi tea also is available easily in the organic shops, and that can be taken. Tulsi is working on fever. It is reducing cough, reducing fever, and it is immunity booster. So that's how it works. Third thing I want to tell about the common spice, turmeric powder or curcuma, which you can find in many kitchens, and it is very antioxidant, antibacterial, and that's how it helps. It is also anti-inflammatory, and we know that now we are fighting with COVID, which is highly causing inflammations in the respiratory system. So immunity booster, turmeric can help. Fourth thing I want to say is another spice, cinnamon, cannel, and that is also very powerful for the respiratory system and removing the mucus or slime, or if it is also good for the circulation. So I can say that these are very important herbs and spices. There is one more thing which is overall nice for corona situation. It's called Guduchi Tinospora cardifolia. This herb is immunity modulator, and in that way it helps. So simple way, like taking licorice tea, taking ginger tea with little bit of curcuma powder or turmeric powder into it. So simple remedies can also protect and enhance the immunity.
Yes, and then you also have the hot water, like only hot water is also really,
also very
I heard.
Useful. Yeah. Taking you know, several cups of hot water every day is also good. It will also keep the channels open. It will reduce the mucus if it is getting accumulated in the throat or lungs. And it maintains the protective, you know, power of the body. So we are seeing that people who have better immunity are better protected. Otherwise, we don't have vaccine or approved medication yet for COVID-19, but people with good immunity are doing very well. So that's the way to do it.
Yes, and that's very, actually, to build immunity, it's not so hard work.
It's not hard work.
But also I think like what you early on said, like sleeping well and things like that are also really important.
We give lot of importance to the healthy daily regime. It is called Dinacharya. So keeping the rhythm of the day, so getting up on time, sleeping on time, getting at least 7 hours of good sleep. If you exercise every day and you keep good daily healthy diet, these are the ways for keeping immunity.
Stand up on your two feet, baby. That's That's how it's got to be. No, 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 no. Standing on your two knees, baby. Tell me, what do you need? Stand up on your two feet, baby. That's how it's got to be. Man, I love you and I just wanna be your woman, your woman. But I'm tired of your trifling ass. You play me for a fool, thinking I don't know what you're doing. No. Hanging out in the clubs with your fake ass crew. So, standing on your two knees, baby, tell me, what do you need? Oh, stand up on your two feet, baby. That's how it's got to be. Standing on your two knees, baby. Tell me, what do you need? Oh, stand up on your two feet, baby. That's how it's got to be. Stand up, baby. Stand up. You got to stand up, baby, stand up. Standing on your two knees, baby, tell me, what do you need? Stand up on your two feet, baby. That's how it's got to be. Stand up, baby. Stand up. You got to stand up, baby. Stand up. You got to raise your head to the sky.
A bit question out of the road, but what is a good healthy diet in short? Is it a lot of vegetables or can you reveal a little tip of that?
Yeah,
if it's possible.
Sure. Usually when we talk about balanced diet, people talk about the carbohydrate, protein and fat theory. And in Ayurveda we have this, but very simplified way. We believe that if you take six tastes, if you include the foods of six tastes in the daily diet and all the textures, it will be balanced diet. But it is very funny, when you want to include all these things, sweet, sour, salty, hot or pungent, bitter and astringent, if you include all of this, ultimately it is balanced diet also, according to your carbohydrate, protein, fat theory. So one might keep wondering, how can I eat bitter every day, or how can I have astringent or wrong taste in my diet? And then the spices will come handy, or the beans. If you look at beans, beans have sweet astringent taste, or spices can have little bit of bitter and astringent for you, or some bitter vegetables can help you. So it is mainly sweet or bland taste, like rice is there or grains are there, quinoa is there, but also different vegetables, spices, and right amount of oil or fat. Not too much, but little bit we need. And then it will make a balanced diet.
So actually it should include every taste. And yes. If it includes every taste and you take it at the right moment, then it will be like a balance. And then
it will be balanced. And in Ayurveda, we are also thinking about the constitutional types. It is called Prakriti. So we classify people into different groups, like somebody would be a tall person or slim person by nature, or somebody will be slightly plump or big muscles, or somebody will be just moderate. So according to their body structure, their metabolic processes, we classify people. So when we design the diet, the prakriti or the constitutional type is taken into consideration. Also the season, because whatever will be healthy diet in summer, if we try to do the same in winter, it is completely wrong. So the time of the day, the prakriti of the person, and season, plus if it is specific condition, like if the woman is pregnant, or if she is entering into menopause, or if it is a child which is in the growing age, according to their special needs, that is their time of the life which is specific, then the specific food items will be included in their diet. That's how.
Yeah, so yes. That is a lot of science going on there, but knowledge as well. Knowledge, what you said, like being in the bush and know which plant does what.
What? Yeah. So it is like not one size fits all. No. In Ayurveda, we have like tailor-made programs and tailor-made thinking. Mm-hmm. So it can go as deep as you want to. So it can be also general, simple things that you can easily adapt. And if you want to think more and more specific, that also is possible.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Then after the diet.
Yeah.
I also have one question. About how important is movement of the body in daily care of one's mind and body?
Yes, a very good question. Thank you. In Ayurveda, we consider body, mind and soul put together. So it is all inclusive or holistic approach. We live in the super specialization world. So if you have something going on with the digestive system and then you go to the specialist for that. If you have something with the circulatory system, then you go to the cardiologist. So, there is no doctor who will put all your systems together, and then maybe Ayurveda can do that for you, because it is body, mind and soul balanced together. And then Ayurveda is using yoga for that balance. So yoga is the exercise which can put body, mind and spirit in balance. And when we say yoga, we are thinking about only asana position. But yoga is more than that. It is also a philosophical part. There is also breathing exercises, and there is meditation. So for the care of mind, these things are used, and the integrity of the mind and the good code of conduct. So how you behave, if you are doing yoga, if you are eating healthy, but there is no truth in your life, then there will be no integrity and disease could come. So for the balance of mind, achara rasayan, or the behavioral aspect, is also given importance.
Yeah, so actually what you say, if you do the yoga, you do it in your whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
and I follow. Oh, I ask you, why not always be the ocean where unravel, be my only, be the water where I'm waiting, yeah, my river running high, run deep, run wide. He's the rebel. I'm the doctor waiting for you. You my river running high. Run deep, run wide. Oh, I follow you. Deep sea, baby.
After this music, we go now to the first part of the interview, and we talked a lot about the principles of Ayurveda and how to involve it in your life, but also the meaning of plants, and you did have a lot of experience with that in the sense that you were in the nature to reveal every I don't know how to say sort of plant.
Yeah.
And actually to make the interview in a circle, I want to ask you, how important do you think it is for human beings to live with plants? What can they learn from plants? The taste or how to conduct two plants.
We consider that the human body or human life is reflection of the mother nature. So whatever you see outside the body in the nature, you will find the same things, same principles in your body. For example, there is 70% water on the Mother Earth, and same percentage of water you will find in human body. So everything is reflection, and then it should be easy for the human beings to live with the nature. And what can we learn from the plants? How to be selfless is the lesson from plants. If I look at the plants, they are giving the shadow, giving the leaves, the fruit, the bark, the root, everything, the flowers, everything is useful. Wood is useful. So I think that, and then they are not making difference to whom do they give all these things. So I think that we can learn some selflessness from the plants. And how to live with plants is like with lot of respect. If we take care of the nature just like our own mother, then I think that kind of care, that kind of respect, and that kind of love will be reflected in our actions. And then we will want to protect it. We want to enjoy it, but we want to protect it. And that will be the balanced approach.
Yes, and then of course also when you took care of it and there will be more plants, then you get more colors and more smells and
more colors, more smells, more tastes. So that is the way to enrich your life. But to be able to enjoy that, you will also need to be careful towards the nature. If you are only in the consumerism approach, or if you are thinking that the human being should conquer the nature or control the nature, then I don't think that it will work good. And we have seen examples of that and natural disasters because of the imbalance. Many times I get criticized that Ayurveda is using herbs and plants. So people think that is Ayurveda eco-friendly, because you are plucking all the plants and you are using all the roots and you take out the bark of the plant. So what are you doing? But then I want to tell that no, there are rituals, there are guidelines on how to use the plants.
Yes, and can you maybe for the almost last question, can you reveal like one or two rituals with how to use the plants, or not use, but how to get familiar with it?
I grew up in India, and in India the Ayurveda is blended with the festivals and daily rituals. So many people may not be able to tell you the Ayurveda principles behind that, but they are using those principles in their life, and it is so beautifully woven in their culture that it is automatically followed and enjoyed. For example, for the New Year's Day, neem leaves. Neem is a plant which is good for the blood purification. And this festival of the New Year, Indian calendar New Year, falls in the beginning of spring. That's when we have the New Year. But beginning of spring can bring some blood related diseases or skin problems, and neem is so wonderful for calming down those diseases. So for every New Year celebration, my grandmother used to make neem leaves with coriander seeds and little jaggery. And of course it was bitter, so we were more interested in the sweets and things. But the grandmother would make sure that no, this is the ritual. First you eat the neem, then I give you the sweets. That was always the condition. So we accepted. And now when I look back, I know how important that was to consume neem leaves in the beginning of spring. That's like a detox scheme. Good for liver, good for blood, and to prevent the skin problems. So, like this.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. And now because I'm in your clinic, and I see these oils, and I thought you made some of the oils yourself, or you, that's in India, and they come here, the oils. Can you maybe point out one or two of the oils?
I will tell you the idea of use of oil. Some basic oils are used. So you can consider the oiling therapy of Ayurveda like a self-love. So if you do the oiling of the body before taking shower, that is good for many things and also good for immunity boosting. So here I have organic sesame oil. And we can find sesame oil here, and everybody can use that on the body for the self massage. So basic oil. So we can use coconut oil, sesame oil, almond oil, or even olive oil as basic oil. But when these oils are boiled with the juices and decoctions of the herbs, it takes several hours to boil that, and then the basic oil will absorb all the goodness of those herbs. Those are the Ayurvedic therapeutic oils. So I have here Mahanarayan Taila or Mahanarayan oil. So this oil has about 35 herbs in it. Oh. And the base is sesame oil. So it will be taking about like 100 hours to slowly simmer that oil with the herbs, and then it will be filtered. But that's how it will be potent, or it will be showing the result effect of all those herbs, and we can make therapeutic use. There is also another example. I have neem oil here. So that neem oil, when you press the seeds of neem plant, you get a bitter oil coming out. So it is like a virgin neem oil pressed from the seeds of neem plant, and then it is very effective for the eczema and skin conditions or infections. So it is antibacterial, antimicrobial and protective kind of oil. So in Ayurveda we give a lot of importance. I have many oils, as you can see here.
Yeah. Yeah. I see for the listeners, I see I'm in the clinic and I see a lot of like kind of pots with all different oils. But it's beyond what we know. So I think it's very interesting to talk about these things, and I want to thank you for having me over. Yeah.
Thank you, Miranda, for this interview and getting introduced to Ayurveda, which is my passion and my work of lifetime. And if you like to know more about my work, you can go to www.ayurvedapanini.com. Ayurvedapanini.com. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. So for all the listeners, if you want to hear more about Ayurveda or are interested in which is possible, you can go to the website www.ayurvedapanini.com.
Yes,
okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Miranda.
Yeah.
I enjoyed talking with you and I liked all your questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Zo, beste luisteraars, dit was het einde van de uitzending. Ik was op bezoek bij dokter Alaknanda Rao in Amstelveen. Als u wat meer wil weten over haar praktijk en over deze prachtige manier van leven, dan verwijs ik u naar de website www.ayurvedapanini.com. En misschien tot de volgende keer. Thank you.